In this week's parsha, Parshas Vayigash, we have the Jewish people, the family of Yaakov Avinu, begins to descend down to Mitzrayim, and now they finally figure out that their brother is the one who was the Moshe B'chal Ha'aretz, Yosef is the one who was in charge. So as they're on their way down, the Psukim tell us that Ves Yehuda Shalach Lefanav, the Pasuk says that Yehuda is sent ahead of the rest of the family, Lahoras Lefanav Goshna. So Rashi over there says that why did Yaakov Avinu send Yehuda first? What does it mean, Lahoros Lefanav Goshna? So Rashi explains in the name of the Medrash, what it means is, Lisakin Lo Beis HaTalmud, he wanted him to set up a yeshiva, he wanted to make sure there would be a system where people could learn, Shemisham Teitzei Hora. Many of the Mefarshim have asked that when you think about all the Shvatim and all the choices that Yaakov Avinu had for who would be able to go and set up a yeshiva in Mitzrayim, the most obvious choice should have been Yisachar. Yisachar, as we know, was the Shevet that represented Torah. Yisachar was the Shevet that had the greatest Torah scholars. So many have wondered, why is it that Yaakov Avinu chose, he singled out Yehuda, as opposed to the Shevet Yisachar to go and set up the yeshiva? One very meaningful answer that I saw was the answer of the Teferet Shlomo. He's one of the great Hasidish Rebbes, the Radomsky Rebbe, so he writes on our Parsha a very beautiful insight, that when you think about how to be a successful mechanech, when you think about how are we going to successfully make sure that our mission is going to be perpetuated in our children, what's required there is not the greatest Torah scholar. You don't choose a Yisachar to make sure that there's going to be a continuity of Jewish tradition and Jewish faith. That's not who's going to ensure a very bright future. Who is going to ensure a bright future is someone who is like Yehuda. Yehuda is the first one in the Torah who stands up and takes responsibility. Yehuda is the one who stands up to his father and says, Anochi Arvenu, I will take responsibility if Binyamin doesn't come back. It's my fault, I am liable for it, I have accountability for him. Says the Teferet Shlomo, if you want to understand how to make sure that we're going to have a successful chinuch for future generations, how are we going to ensure that our children are going to be okay? How are we going to ensure that future generations are going to stick to the faith and keep to the same Torah? It's not by setting up the greatest Torah scholars to be in charge of educating them, but rather by having people around them who have a great investment and a tremendous commitment, someone who has a sense of responsibility, a parent who understands that as great as they might be, as much as they're the partner in the law firm, as much as they're in charge of the investment committee or whatever they're doing, they have a responsibility to their children. They have an accountability that they're going to be asked whether they did what they were supposed to do and whether their commitment went as strongly as it should. And that is why Yehuda was chosen here to set up the yeshiva, to make sure there's going to be a perpetuation, because that's what's necessary for future generations, to make sure that they are going to have an appropriate venue for themselves to keep the Torah. So that's the insight of the Teferet Shlomo. Again, many suggestions are given, but I thought that was a particularly fascinating one as to why Yehuda was chosen and singled out as opposed to Shevi Yisachar, which naturally should have been the more obvious choice, as they are the representation of great Torah wisdom and the greatest Torah scholars. Okay, but everyone was going together, so why couldn't they have just waited? So that leads us into our next question. Why did Yehuda have to go ahead? Why couldn't you just say, when we get down there, we'll figure it out. When we get down there, we'll all go en masse. We'll all figure out as a family how we're going to open up the first yeshiva. The Shalah HaKadosh writes in this week's Parsha, addressing your question, addressing that, why was Yehuda needed to go down first? Why couldn't he just join the rest of the family and they'll go as a family to figure out what they're going to set up there? Says the Shalah HaKadosh, the answer is that in any initiative that we embark on as a people or as a family or as a individual, a person always has to make sure to consecrate. A person always has to make sure to devote and to dedicate the beginning of any initiative to the ruchnius, to the spiritual nature of how it's going to play out there. And therefore, when you have the Jewish people going down to Mitzrayim, it's not enough that we're going to come down and then we'll figure it out. We're going to send Yehuda ahead because we have to make sure that before we get there, we know where our priorities are. We know that we're going to have something set up in place for us. We're not going to have a problem later on. And it's not good enough to get there and figure it out. We have to figure it out before we get there. Says the Shalah HaKadosh, someone who is Zoche Livnos Bayis, someone who has the great opportunity to buy their own house or to build their own house. So you have the contractor comes and he shows you all the plans of how the kitchen and the dining room and how the bedrooms and everything, the bathrooms, he wants to show you how everything's going to look. Does it ever dawn upon you, says the Shalah HaKadosh, to think about, where is my Svarim shelf going to go? Where am I going to keep my Chumash? Where am I going to keep my Siddur? When my wife has to daven at home and my children are going to be raised and they're going to be seeing us davening, where are we going to have a comfortable place to daven, to learn, to sit at night, to do something like that? That's something that most of us ignore, says the Shalah, but that's the most important part of the house. before we sit and think about all the details about the dining room and the kitchen and the living room and the bathrooms and the bedrooms, we have to first think about, is there going to be a comfortable place which is going to be a base vad l'chachamim, says the Shalah. Are we going to have a place where a Talmud Chacham would feel comfortable, where he can walk into our house and say, hey, do you have a Gemara? Do you have a place for me to sit and learn? Do you have a place for me to connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam? That, says the Shalah, is something we need to think about. Very often you have people who check out a neighborhood. They're considering where they're going to move. So they're checking out all the supermarkets and the malls and all the different things. They want to know how everything plans out. How many people sit when they go to a neighborhood and think about, how are the shuls there? Are the people talking during davening? Do I want to be a part of this community? How are the schools in this community? Again, this has to be the priority. That's what the Shalah HaKadosh teaches us. When you go and check out a neighborhood, the first thing you have to think about is, the shul is a place where I'm going to be comfortable. Is it a place where I want my children to see the way they daven there? Or is it something I want to stay away from? That's not an afterthought. That's not something you figure out after you get there. That's something you need to think about before you get to the community. So they give another example. They say when a person plans a vacation, so, you know, we plan all the different things and where we want to go and how we want to go and which trips we want to take. But then, once we get there, we figure out, is there going to be a minyan? So many have pointed out that you should first figure out the only places we can go on a vacation is where there's going to be a minyan provided. After we figure out whether there's going to be a minyan for us, so then we figure out, well, we're going to take this trip and that trip and how we're going to fill up the days. But it has to be revolving around the fact that we have minyanim, that we have a way to sustain ourselves religiously and spiritually when we go on that trip. So they say the svarim that are written by Reb Shalom Shvadron, he writes a very interesting story, that there was someone who he knew who was planning a whole vacation, a whole trip, and he said that the person was packing up all the different things that were necessary, that were required for this couple of days that he was going to be away. So he puts in all his baseballs and his golf clubs and all the different changes of clothing that he needs for the golf tournaments and every day, and it's a very busy few days that he's going to have. And he goes on his way, and after he's on the plane already, he realizes he forgot his talus at home. Can't believe it. How did I forget the talus? And he starts hitting himself. How did I forget the talus? Reb Shalom Shvadron went to the man's talus in shul, and he said, talus, talus, ein lecha malidog. You have nothing to worry about. Now the man forgot about you, but la'achar me'eva esrim shana yava yom v'hu yikach rakoscha. There's going to come a time when he'll fix up his priorities and he'll realize the only important thing in his life is not the golf clubs or anything else. After he's in the ground, the only thing that's going to go with him, the one thing he's going to pack with him, is going to be the talus. So you shouldn't feel bad. You shouldn't feel bad. Reb Shalom Shvadron wrote that it was important for a person to keep in mind what is the priority. The first thing that goes in the suitcase is the talus and the tefillin. After that, we figure out all the golf clubs and all the changes of clothing, but the priority has to be, from the outset, we have to make sure that we have the priority straight, that we have what's necessary before all the other things that are not as important as the Torah and the spirituality of a trip that we might be planning. We already find a precedent for this in Parshas Noach. As we know, the Medrash tells us that Noach comes out of the Teva, Vayachal Noach Isha Adama, that Noach comes out of the Teva, and it seems to be Milashon Chulin, the Medrash says, Noach defiles himself, Vayita Kerem, because Noach, the first thing that he does when he comes out of the Teva is, he plants a vineyard, he plants grapes. Why did he plant a grape? Because he wants to have wine, he wants to get drunk, he wants to have what to drink. So the Pasuk says that it seems to be that was a defilement of Noach's nature. He shouldn't have gone to go ahead and plant a vineyard before doing other things. Now, when you consider that, it's a very striking statement, because Noah looks at a world that was just destroyed. So he has to start somewhere. Obviously, God expects him to start planting and to start inhabiting the world and to start making sure that the world is going to rebuild itself and rejuvenate. So what exactly is the question? Why did Noah do anything wrong? He had to start somewhere. So the Medrash points out here, no. Of course you have to plant a vineyard, but that's where your mind is. That's the first thing you're thinking about after you come out of the Teva. How am I going to get wine to get myself drunk? How are you going to live past this experience without a couple of shots of schnapps? That's where Noach said is. How could it be? That's what the Pasuk says. That was the time against Noach. Not that he planted the vineyard, but that was his priority. That was where his mind was. That was the first thing that was important to him when he comes out of the Teva. That's what the question is, and that's what our parasha shows, that Yaakov Avinu shows what priorities are supposed to be, that Yehuda is the first person to go down, because we have to make sure, before we get there, that we have the things that are very necessary for a Jewish family to live set up and straightened out before we get to our destination. And this is what is clear in the Chumash. If you look, when you have Reishis Bikuri Ad Mascha, when you have produce that grows in your field, the beginning of that produce, you have to show, where's my priority? The first thing that I have from my field that grows, I bring to the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Bikurim. A Petarechem, as we know, when a firstborn child is born, a firstborn boy, you have to give that to the Kohen. Lihu. Why is it Lihu? Because we show our priority is the first thing that we do in any venture, in any initiative in our lives is, we make sure to consecrate that which is first, and we give it to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We show him that this is where our minds are. And this is really what the Pasuk writes in Koheles. The pasuk says, Tov achris davar meireishiso. So it's hard to even translate what those words mean, but the Medrash writes over there a very startling statement. Rabbi Akiva had a number of Talmidim. Again, he had the 24,000 Talmidim died, and then he had another few Talmidim who started over again. But one of his Talmidim was Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya is the Tana who went off the Derech, who was no longer religious afterward. He went down in history known as Acher. And Acher, there in the Medrash, has a comment from his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. So he says, what does the Pasuk mean? Tov achris davar meireishiso. Listen to what Acher explained in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Tov achris davar, when is something going to be good in the culmination and the result of that initiative? Kishu tov meireishiso. What does it mean? Tov achris davar meireishiso. That the only time you're going to have a good outcome is when the beginning, when the incipient stages of what you were doing were positive as well. Then you can ensure that you're going to have a positive outcome as well. But when it stinks from day one, when it's not good from the roots, when there's something wrong from the beginning, then you know that the outcome is not going to be positive, and you know that it's not going to culminate in a good way. And this is what the Medrash writes there as well, is the understanding of the Pasuk in Iov. The Pasuk says about Iov, Hashem Beirach es achris Iov mei reishiso. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave blessing after all the suffering that Iov had. He gave blessing to him mei reishiso. Explains the Medrash what it means is, the reason why Iov had a positive end is because mei reishiso, all the Torah, all the wonderful things that he did in his life before all that happened, ensure that he was going to have a positive end. And that's the way we think about everything, every foundational stage of anything that we're trying, any initiative that we get involved in, anything has to be in a very strong place, and it has to be set up in the proper way. This is what Elisha ben Avuya himself writes. Why is it that he went off? Why was it that he didn't have a life that was fulfilled? Why isn't it that he didn't have a life that was of religious nature? So the Yerushalmi tells a story that Elisha ben Avuya himself told over, and that is that at the time that Elisha ben Avuya's bris took place, so his father was a wealthy man, he invited all the great tzaddikim of Eretz Yisrael to come participate in his son's bris. And there in the middle of the bris, two of the Tanaim went off to the side, they started talking and learning, and they started to discuss Chumash and Mishnayis and Gemaras and all the different things they were talking about, and Psukim, and the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, tells us that a fire came down in between these two Torah scholars. They were talking and learning, and a fire enveloped their immediate vicinity. So the father of Elisha ben Avuya says, I didn't invite you to my house to make a fire. I didn't invite you to my house to burn down the house. What are you guys doing? So they said, no, it's not burning down the house. When we learn together, this is like a reenactment of Maimon Har Sinai. In the same way there was fire then, so there's fire now. There's such holiness, there's so much Kedusha when we talk words of Torah. Elisha ben Avuya's father said, oh, if that's what happens when you learn Torah, it looks like it's very honorable, looks like it's a beautiful thing to do, then I want my son to have that also. So Elisha ben Avuya said, the only reason why my father sent me to yeshiva, the only reason why my father wanted me to be a Torah scholar is because he wanted that honor later on. Not because he wanted that my foundation should be proper, not because he was proud of what they were doing, not because he cared for what they were doing, but rather because he saw what honor is bestowed upon a person who learns Torah. That's what happened in his own house. He sees that a heavenly fire comes down and envelops their immediate vicinity while they're learning. So he was so taken by that. And Elisha ben Avuya said, that's why his foundation, which started off not for the right reasons, shalo lishma, that's why in the end his achris davar was not so good. That's why Elisha ben Avuya's later on, his period in history was not such a bright one. It was something that was a more negative kind of experience. I once saw in the name of the Panavizharav that he said, the way to say when you build a house, so he says, when you build a house, you have to make sure that everything's measured very precisely. So he says, you take that ruler that has the water in it. What is that called? The level. So he said, how do you refer to a level in Hebrew? What is that called in Hebrew? He says it's an anach. Aleph nun chaf is the way you say that word in Hebrew. So he said that that's the understanding. Obviously, the Panavizharav was saying avart, but it's not the Pashup Shat. So he said that that's what it means. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Ha'anach shali, he said. Anytime that I want to level, I want to measure and figure out, is what I'm about to do something that's going to be positive, is it going to be negative? Is it something that I should be involved in or not? The level that a person always has to use is the gauge that we figure out whether it's the right venture to be on, whether it's the right initiative to have an involvement in, is Ha'anach Shali has to be Hashem Elokecha. That's what it means, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Every time that we involve ourselves in anything in the world, it has to be Ha'anach Shali. The way that I gauge, the way that I figure out whether or not this is something positive or negative is to see whether it has Hashem Elokecha involved in it. Is it something that from the foundation, from the root, God is involved, God is part of the groundwork, and God is part of the footing of that initiative that we are doing. Let's just close with a story that's told in the biography of Rav Meir Shapira. Rav Meir Shapira was the founder of the Daf Yomi, as we know. Rav Meir Shapiro was the founder of the Lublin Yeshiva, which was also a groundbreaking yeshiva in its time. So it says that on the day that they had the Chanukah Sabayis for the Lublin Yeshiva, Rav Meir Shapiro got up to speak. There were thousands of people there, apparently. That's what it says in the book, although I don't know. People told me they've seen the building. It doesn't fit thousands of people, so I don't know what that aspect of the story actually means. But they say there were thousands of people who came to hear the first shiur that Rav Meir Shapiro was going to give. And he got up and he offered a tefillah, and he said in that tefillah that now he understands what it means. He said, we say about Yerushalayim Kiddusha Rishona, Kiddusha Liyasad Lavo. So Rav Meir Shapiro said, when you're Mekadesh something from the Rishona, from the outset, from the beginning, and you make sure that you infuse it with all the requisite kavana, with all the requisite outlook and mindset from the beginning of the initiative, then Kiddusha Liyasad Lavo. That's something that never goes away. That's something that's going to imbue that initiative forever, and it's something that will never be destroyed. It's going to have eternal and everlasting permanent nature. So Rav Meir Shapiro added on that there are three places in Chumash, in the Torah and Tanakh, where you find the phrase chinuch used. So he said the first place where you find it is by chinuch habayis, being mechanach habeis hamikdash. Second place he says you find it is by chinuch hamizbeach, the kelim of the beis hamikdash. And the third place is by chinuch habanim, by teaching our children, our boys and our girls. So Rav Meir Shapiro said that in his opinion, chinuch means something, an initiative that you're involved in that has permanent and perpetual everlasting nature. How do you know that? He says because when you're mechanech habeis hamikdash, the pasuk says, zos chanukas hamizbeach. I'm sorry, that's by the mizbeach, and the Gemara tells us, avne mizbeach ein lahem pidyon olamus. You can never take away that kedusha that was invested, that was infused into the mizbeach. That's number one, he says. It means that the kedusha that you give, a chinuch means you give something an everlasting, an eternal nature, an eternal kedusha. Number two, he said, the Chanukah Beis HaMikdash, we're told, Kiddusha Rishona, Kiddusha Liyasad Lavo, the first Kiddusha that was infused into the Makom HaMikdash is something that was everlasting, something that will never be taken away. And thirdly, he says, what it means to be Mechanech, our children, also is something that we have to make sure from the outset we understand that the venture that we're about to engage ourselves in is something that's going to be everlasting and perpetual nature. And that's what the Pasuk says in Mishle, Chanoch Lanar Al Pi Darko, Gam ki yaskin lo yasir mimena. Even when he gets old, even when he's not a child anymore, he's going to make sure to have all those values that you taught him. They're going to last with him forever. It's going to be of eternal nature, the same way chinuch in other places in Chumash means of everlasting and perpetual nature. So too that chinuch means we invest ourselves in the chinuch of our children and the chinuch of younger generations because it's something that we know will have an everlasting and a permanent effect as long as it started on the right foot. As long as we have the attitude that Yehuda shalach lefanav Lahora's Goshna, that Yehuda has to be first, that this has to be the priority, this has to be our attention, and our emphasis always has to be, the first concern is for the chinuch of our children and for the spiritual well-being of ourselves and all the generations that will come after us.